The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
As you learnt on the telly, you wouldn't let Daniel O'Donnell fix your gas boiler, would you? You wouldn't let a block layer do your plumbing. So why would you let someone without any qualifications inject stuff into your face in the quest for enhanced beauty or the unwinnable war against Father Time? Professor Katrina Ryan is a consultant dermatologist and she wants to talk about the dangers of unregulated dermal fillers. Professor Katrina Ryan, Katrina, good morning.
Hi, Pat. Thanks for having me on.
Now, first of all, to those of us who are uninitiated, what is a dermal filler and what's it used for?
Well, Pat, there's lots of different types of dermal fillers, but I suppose the most commonly used one is a type of substance called hyaluronic acid. It occurs naturally in our own tissues. And over the last few decades, it's been used now to volumize the soft tissues of the skin, particularly the face. I think it's become, you know, really well known more for the explosion of lip fillers we've seen in young women over recent years. The trend of having these very large lips that we see everywhere really now on social media. But it's used for lots of other things as well, particularly when women are starting to age a little. It's a sort of minimally invasive technique that's used to volumize certain areas of the cheeks, maybe under the eyes when people have, depressions under the eyes, to just volumize the face and improve, the aging process.
Mm. So you inject this stuff in the appropriate place. How long does it last before the filler leaches away and you're back to where you started?
So anything between 6 months and 2 years, depending on the consistency of the filler, and where it's put, really.
But meanwhile, underneath it all, you're still aging. Father Time does not forget. So if you allow the 2 years to elapse, then you look at yourself one morning in the mirror and you've aged utterly dramatically.
No, usually it's a gradual process as the hyaluronic acid is broken down over time. And actually we have shown that they do induce collagen to some extent. So usually you're still in a better place than if you hadn't done it at all. But, you know, they do resorb over time. So, you don't end up in a worse place, but it's a very commonly used procedure nowadays. I've seen, a huge increase in the uptake in dermal fillers in the last decade, for sure.
Now, everyone kind of knows about Botox and it does have its medical uses, never mind its cosmetic uses. It is used to treat various conditions because what does it do? It freezes muscles from activity, which can be useful. Never mind that kind of immovable face that we've all come across from time to time where people can't talk anymore. You know, they can't talk anymore because they're so frozen. We've all seen that. But that can only be administered by a doctor, isn't that so?
Well, not just by doctor or dentist.
Yeah.
So somebody who in Ireland anyway, who can prescribe the medication. So it's actually very tightly regulated, not just the use of it, but also the advertising of it by our medical, our medicines board, the HPRA. So it's in a very different category to what dermal fillers would be. So Botox is considered a medicine. It is a medicine. So there's tight regulations around the use of it.
Now, what about the dermal fillers then? Can anyone, could I set up shop tomorrow morning and start injecting?
You could, Pat. And I suppose this is what we've been quite worried about and we've been expressing our concerns about it, as medics. Doctors, dentists, nurses have sort of come together and their concerns about the lack of regulation around dermal fillers. And it's because they're categorized as a very different thing. They're considered a device, so not a medication. And because of that, the regulations around their use, not just in Ireland, but in the EU, is very, very lax. Who can buy a dermal filler? So I actually had a patient in with me one day, and he told me his wife had bought dermal fillers herself over the internet.
He didn't get to do it.
No, she injected them into herself. So, this is the issue. And I suppose this is why We have concerns, and it's to do with the safety of people at large, particularly young women, because a dermal filler actually is much more dangerous than Botox in that you can, because it's a substance like a jelly or like a putty, it can block off blood vessels. So, you know, it can stop the blood supply to certain areas of the face. In rare instances, it can even cause blindness. So it's something to be taken very seriously. The ironic thing is if that did happen, and it could happen to anyone, and even to an expert, because the anatomy of everyone's face is a little bit different. But there is an antidote, something called hyaluronidase, that you can dissolve it away, you know, instantaneously. But only a doctor or a dentist or a nurse who's supervised or a prescribing nurse can use that substance, can actually have it on the premises. So that's where the danger lies, that in the wrong hands, that a dermal filler can be quite dangerous. The other things that can happen are that people can have infections in the areas that the dermal filler is injected, or allergic reactions. So again, it really should be a medic who's practicing to a high standard, who are using these fillers. And this is where the legal loophole exists, unfortunately.
So you might go into a high street beauty salon and get these fillers injected by someone who maybe has been shown how to do it by somebody else, who's been shown in turn how to do it by somebody else. So there may be no formal training at all. But
or a couple of hours of training on a weekend course. And I suppose it was this, you know, a couple of years ago, myself and another dermatologist wrote to Simon Harris, the Minister of Health at the time, that we were terrified at the thought of it. We were seeing courses being advertised to beauticians about how they could increase their income by injecting lip fillers. And of course, you know, these are not medics. They're not healthcare professionals. You know, as a doctor or a dentist or a nurse, we're you know, our standards are very highly regulated by our boards of profession. Yeah.
Now, a technical thing: if you're getting your lips done, you know, do you just inject it in one spot and it spreads out, or do you have to go right across, bit by bit by bit by bit, to give you even lips rather than a lopsided grin?
Yeah, right across, Pat. So multiple injections into the lip, into different places in the lip.
Okay, now I can see where this could go badly wrong, but the reason people are embracing it, I suppose, the quest for, you know, maintaining the beauty of youth and so on and so forth, but it might be price, you know, it could be a lot cheaper on the high street than going to a dermatologist.
Absolutely. And I suppose this is part of the issue. I think, you know, it's the young women, you know, this whole explosion of lip fillers has been, particularly women in their, you know, in their late teens, early 20s, who don't have, who often aren't as cautious, but they also have less money to pay for high quality fillers with medical experts. And these are the people who fall victim to the botch jobs that we see. The other issue is that a lot of these injectors, and they can be doing it in people's houses sometimes, they're getting fillers, you know, through the internet from China. We don't even know what's in these fillers sometimes. So there's no regulation over that either. So this is very, very, you know, concerning to us.
Okay, so you'd like it regulated, but some people will listen to this and say she wants a clothes shop for herself and her professional colleagues.
No, do you know, there's a huge number of excellent doctors, dermatologists, plastic surgeons, nurses, dentists, all of whom would practice to very high standards, Pat, because, you know, this is, you know, we're all governed by our you know, governing bodies, whether it's the medical council or the dental council. So somebody who knows the anatomy, but most importantly, somebody who can dissolve the filler if something goes wrong. So really, I think what we'd like is that only people who can administer the antidote, which is a medicine like Botox is, or like any other medicine that you inject, should be the ones who are permitted to inject the filler. And that would just keep the public at large, you know, safe, and that there's accountability there. And I think that's what needs to happen. Often when these things go wrong, and it's usually young girls, they go back to wherever they went, and they can do nothing at all for them, or they end up in A&Es, if it is that blocking off of arteries. So It is. It's you know, it's a dangerous problem.
Right. Well, thank you very much for shedding light on it, Katrina. That's Professor Katrina Ryan at the Institute of Dermatology.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.